snow scene from some latest Hollywood release movie. This is South London, in broad daylight, with a red double-decker bus in the background. This man and his accomplice have just butchered the 25-year-old British soldier, Lee Rigby, and instead of running for their lives, talk to stunned bystanders with blood-stained weapons still in their hands. After the initial shock and horror this week, the collective consciousness cries out for justice. These men need to be brought to account. It was the same response we had when we heard of the capture of one of the Sarnay brothers responsible for the Boston bombings last month. We all long for justice, for the righting of wrongs, for retribution for evil done. No wonder then that there was much fuss made a few years back when a poster appeared on church notice boards declaring, "Jesus loves Osama." Do you remember that? It didn't take long for the public outcry. Osama bin Laden was the embodiment of evil and wickedness. How could Jesus love him? If you were the relative of one of the victims of the 9/11 attacks, you would be wondering, how could the church say such a thing? The outcry travelled far and wide. TV shows, media interviews, daily newspapers. Why was it that people were so up in arms? Well, it is, I think, because of people's desire for justice. What Osama bin Laden needed was not love, but justice. Indeed, the name first given to the pursuit of bin Laden following 9/11 was infinite justice, you might recall. And who of us doesn't long for justice? Whether it be trivial, like when someone pushes in front of you in the queue in the supermarket, or nicks your car space. And if you don't call it out, at least you think it to yourself, that's just not fair. Or whether it be of a monumental nature, like when our children are murdered or raped, the cry goes out louder and stronger for justice. A group of black Americans were taking a part-time theology course. They happened to be in class on the night that the TV networks first showed the beating of Rodney King by the LA police. The students were seething with rage. The lecturer encouraged them to talk about their own experiences of suffering racism. All of them had bitter stories to tell and spoke with anger in their hearts and voices. The lecturer then asked, what biblical principles should they be thinking about as they face up to racism? Well, everyone in the class exploded with the answer, justice! Justice! We all long for justice, and to love those who we think need God's judgment doesn't sit well with us. As you heard the story read this morning of innocent Naboth being murdered so that the king and queen could satisfy their selfish desires, was that your emotional response? I want justice for that guy. Well, let's turn our attention to the text of 1 Kings 21. Reading again, verses 1 to 3. Sometime later, there was an incident involving a vineyard belonging to Naboth the Jezreelite. The vineyard was in Jezreel, close to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. Ahab said to Naboth, "Let me have your vineyard to use for a vegetable garden, since it is close to my palace. In exchange, I will give you a better vineyard, or if you prefer, I will pay you whatever it is worth." But Naboth replied, "The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my ancestors." It seems like a reasonable request. The king, Ahab, wants Naboth's vineyard, and he offers him cash or a better vineyard in exchange. But Naboth, for his part, refuses. Why? Well, the land was part of God's promise to his people. that stay in the families of those it was given to. The land was given by God's grace. So, for example, Numbers 36:7, no inheritance in Israel is to pass from tribe to tribe, for every Israelite shall keep the tribal land inherited from his forefathers. Now, there could be some exceptions, but that is the biblical principle. That is the principle by which Naboth was living. And so he wasn't being difficult. He was simply being obedient. While King Ahab, on the other hand, was being covetous and disregarding of God's law. Well, I'm being turned down. Ahab goes back to the palace without a new vineyard and does what any self-respecting king would do. He pouts and he sulks and he refuses to eat his vineyards. And Jezebel, his wife, says, "What's the matter, dear?" And he tells her the story, which brings us to our first point. An evil queen manufacturing injustice. In a mark of irony, we read Jezebel saying, "Are you the king of Israel or what? Who rules Israel?" Well, actually, of course, Jezebel does. She wears the pants and she is wearing the crown. She says, verse 7, "Cheer up, I'll get you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." And then we see that every command of hers is obeyed to the T. She wrote letters with Ahab's seal and said, "Proclaim a day of fasting and seek Naboth in a prominent place among the people." So the elders and nobles proclaimed a day of fasting and seated Naboth in a prominent place among the peoples. She said, "Seek two scoundrels opposite him." So they seated two scoundrels opposite him. She said, "Have the scoundrels testify that he has cursed both God and the king." So they got the scoundrels to testify that he had cursed both God and the king. She said, "And take him out to stone to death." So they took him out and stoned him to death. And surprise, surprise, she commands her husband and he obeys. She said to Ahab, "Get up and take possession of the vineyard, for Naboth is dead." So Ahab gets up and goes down to take possession of the vineyard, for Naboth was dead. And we can see in this sordid episode the escalation of sin. Ahab coveted, which led to false witness, and then to murder. Not unlike King David. The sin of Ahab and Jezebel causes others to sin. Not one elder or noble stood up against Jezebel in a sordid plan. You can see that you can never sin in isolation. It always impacts upon others. In that episode, we saw an evil queen manufacturing injustice. But secondly, we see a godly believer experiencing injustice. What did Naboth get for his troubles? For his godly obedience, he gets taken outside the city and stoned to death. Do you feel the anger rise like that of those black Americans? Do you want to call out like them, "Justice, justice, we want justice"? Don't you want to see Ahab and Jezebel get it in the neck? If there was a poster at the time, "God loves Ahab and Jezebel," how would Naboth's family have felt? How well would that have sat with them? I mean, he was the Osama bin Laden of his day. You just notice it there in verses 25 and 26. Let me read it. "There was never a man like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, urged on by Jezebel his wife. He behaved in the vilest manner by going after idols like the Amorites the Lord drove out for Israel." Friends, we might long for justice for the likes of Naboth, but we must not think that we will be exempt from evil in the world. There are those who want to proclaim a Christianity without suffering, without injustice. But such a theology is void of the cross. Naboth is representative of all believers. We must expect to suffer injustice. believers in this world in one way or another. This is the sort of treatment believers can expect from the rulers of this age. The Christian community in Syria faces the certain prospect of oppression, if not destruction. The process of eliminating the church in Iraq continues. Christians are frequently murdered in Nigeria, especially when gathered for worship. But in the West, we are relatively unscathed. Well, yes, but the foul winds of injustice are gathering momentum and blowing our way. In the US, and this happened some years ago now, it's told by John MacArthur, two young female students in Wisconsin advertised for a third roommate to share their private residence. They rejected one applicant who told them she was a lesbian. Because of that, they were forced by the State Human Rights Commission to pay the lesbian applicant $1,500 for causing her distress. The commission also awarded a public letter of apology and required the two girls to attend a re-education class taught by homosexuals. Now, don't get me wrong. We need to love those who are of a different sexual orientation to ourselves as much as anybody else. But surely, they have the right to choose who is going to share their house with them. Yes, injustices against believers will continue to gather momentum and blow hard and strong. But thirdly, we must note, a loving God allowing injustice. But friends, let's be honest. Have we ever thought that sometimes it isn't too flash? Why didn't he intervene if he was concerned with injustice? Christian writer Josh Harris says, and it's in a different context, but he says this, the right thing at the wrong time is the wrong thing. Well, here we might think God was going to do the right thing at the wrong time. It was too late for poor old Naboth. Willie Nelson said this, the early bird gets the worm, but the second mouse gets the cheese. Fair enough. See the point? Does God have a problem with timing? Was he too late? Well, we must say that of course he doesn't. He allows such injustices. He is still sitting on the throne. He does not get caught out by the evil power of a wayward king or queen, or anyone else for that matter. We may never know why one is spared and another is not. But we must remember that the secret things belong to God. That regardless of the timing, we must remember God cares about justice. So next we see a loving God dealing with injustice. Follow with me from verse 17. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite. Go down and meet Ahab, king of Israel, who rules in Samaria. He is now in Naboth's vineyard, where he has gone to take possession of it. Say to him, this is what the Lord says. Have you not murdered a man and seized his property? Then say to him, this is what the Lord says, in the place where dogs licked up Naboth's blood, dogs will lick up your blood. Yes, yours. Ahab and Jezebel thought they had pulled off the perfect crime, costing them nothing more than a postage stamp. But they had forgotten one thing. There is a God from whom You cannot run away from God. You cannot hide from Him. And yes, our God is a God of justice. And this becomes a favourite story of ours, along with boys at Sunday Kids. Tell me the bit again about dogs licking up that king's blood, will you? We read further, I am going to bring disaster on you. I will consume your descendants, and dogs will devour Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. You want to have a go at that for a kid spot, Andrea? Bring in some blood. But we should note the horror of it. And the serpent. We long for justice. And justice is going to happen. God's justice is never wrong. And His timing is never wrong. For some, we will see it in this life. We know of some who had marvellous rescues. We can think of Daniel in the lion's den, or his three mates rescued from the fiery furnace. But we know, of course, that is not always God's way. As with Naboth. God's Messiah was about to appear, but His forerunner, John the Baptist, was murdered because of another gutless king, King Antipas. And we can also think of Stephen, the first martyr, who was stoned to death. We have no guarantee of immunity against injustice in this life, but justice one day will come. We read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with His powerful angels. And that's why we read in Matthew 10:28. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Yes, don't be mistaken. There is a loving God who deals with injustice. There is one more thing to see in our text. There is a loving God who shows mercy to the unjust. After the word of the Lord came to Ahab, we read of his response in verse 27. He tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and fasted. He lay in sackcloth and went around meekly. Are you surprised by Ahab's response? Are you disappointed by Ahab's response? And then we read verse 28. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite. Have you noticed how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself, I will not bring this disaster in his day, but I will bring it on his house in the days of his son. Does God's response surprise you? Does God's response disappoint you? Are you still calling out for justice but disappointed in God's mercy? If so, then notice first of all that God's judgment is delayed, not cancelled. There will still be judgment on Ahab and his dynasty, and it is not long before we read of that. But notice that God is pleased with Ahab's penitence. For our God is one who is slow to anger and longs for people to turn from their wickedness. Sadly, Ahab's repentance was short-lived. But you can almost feel the excitement as God says, did you see what Ahab has done? Are we as enthusiastic as that? Or are we like a Jonah who was disappointed when the people of Nineveh repented? goes to a lifeless eternity? Would you be disappointed if they repented and turned to the Lord and found forgiveness? Do we have the heart that our God has? I mean, how is it that God could show mercy to such another? Let alone to one like Ahab, or offer mercy to a Boston bomber, or a killer of a British soldier in broad daylight? How could God show mercy to them, even if they turned from their wickedness? It's because of the one who was much like Nabal, Jesus. Do you notice similarities between the two? Jesus was an innocent scapegoat whose enemies conspired against him, who was falsely accused of blasphemy, and who also had two witnesses, and who was taken outside the city to endure an unjust execution. But unlike Nabal, Jesus died willingly. He did it for you. He did it for me. He did it for King Ahab. And he did it for all who deserve death. By Jesus dying, God's wrath was satisfied. For God so loved not just the lovable ones, not just the good ones, but he loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That is the wonder of the gospel. For God desires not but rather that they should turn from their wickedness. So friends, as we go out this morning, remember the cross, the place where justice and mercy meet. Remember that God is a God of justice. Remember the price that was paid to bring about that justice. And in awe and wonder, praise your God for pouring out his wrath, not on us, for we all deserve it, but on his Son. And remember that his justice will fall on those who have wronged us. That is, you endure hatred from the world. Remember that our God is a God of justice, and that one day everything will be put right. But remember too, how God longs to show mercy. And so pray for it. And like God, long to see others turn